It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
Tony Paul, national baseball writer for the Detroit News. Let's talk about Victor Martinez.
I don't think they need him to be this huge power threat, though, either. I think that he's going to be a gap guy. He's going to find a lot of the gaps there at the big left center and big right center. But he's not going to hit more than 20, 22 home runs, I don't think.
Is he the answer to protect Miguel Cabrera?
I don't think it's a protection enough. I thought that from the beginning that it wasn't enough. You know, Victor Martinez is a very good hitter, but Victor Martinez is not a hitter that you look at and, you know, you're scared to pitch to.
Now, here's Dave Benton.
Well, clearly Victor Martinez is not the answer. I think we figured that already this year. I mean, only 161 games left to go, but clearly, Scott, Victor Martinez is not the answer. Welcome in. Weekend Kickoff for 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320WILS Weekend Kickoff, and you can also follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. I am Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. It is Final Four weekend, one of my favorite weekends of the year, Scott. We've got some good guests to go along with that. In fact, we were a little inspired this week by the fact that you've got two mid-majors in the Final Four. So we went out and we decided to get three mid-major coaches and speak to them about the impact that this may have. So at 9 o'clock, we'll speak with Western Michigan head coach Steve Hawkins. 9:30, we'll speak with Central Michigan head coach Ernie Ziegler, who, in my opinion, is very, very close to having a very good basketball team. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll speak with Oakland University coach Greg Campy about his season, the loss to Texas, and then his ideas about what's going on with the NCAA tournament and the mid-majors. And that's where we'll start today. We are going to talk Tigers. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cam Newton scouting report and all that stuff. But I want to start today talking about the Final Four, because as I said, today is really one of my five favorite sports days of the year. You know, sometimes I talk about my favorite sport days, you know, and, you know, first for me is the U.S. game, whenever that first game is for the World Cup, because I'm a soccer fan, I'm a loser. So my favorite day is whenever the U.S. plays their first game. But very closely behind that, you've got New Year's Day Bowls, the beginning of March Madness, which, by the way, is becoming more and more murky as we add more and more games. But we'll go with that Thursday as one of my favorite days. The first weekend in September, I love it because you got the start of the NFL, the start of real college football games when people stop playing cupcakes and actually start playing each other. You've got baseball starting to get serious. The U.S. Open tennis tournament is beginning. It's a great weekend. And then somewhere in there, I would fit Final Four weekend, because Final Four weekend, it's more than just the games, okay? It's what builds up the games. It's the atmosphere around the games. Because unlike the Super Bowl, which I have grown tired of because of the coverage that you get from 10 o'clock on until the game starts, the Final Four, you can really handle that day however you want. There's coverage on if you want to, but for the most part, stations like CBS and ESPN, they kind of lay off the Final Four till the afternoon, and you can really spend the day how you want to. Do you want to go to a bar? Do you want to hang out with friends at home? However you want to do it, that's fine. And I think that builds to it. I mean, whenever you've got an event that people like watching the shoot around on TV, that has to be a pretty successful and popular event, and the Final Four definitely falls under that category. And even if your team isn't in it, I encourage you at some point to go to a city where a Final Four is being held, because it's really something that you can't describe. It's something like you've never been through before. I went in Detroit, which obviously most people went to, okay? But when you go to these things, you have to go to a team bar, okay? You've got to go to a place where one team is, it's all their fans. When I was in Detroit, we went to the Villanova bar, partly because the Michigan State bar was filled, and also because we wanted to root for Villanova to beat North Carolina, because we knew Michigan State had a better shot at beating Villanova than they did North Carolina. But if you look at the bars over the years, I mean, 2 years ago in Detroit, obviously the MSU bar was the place to go. Last year, I'd say, if you were going to go to a bar, it should have been the West Virginia bar, because who really wants to go to Duke? You know, nobody wants to hear anything about Duke. Who really wants to go to Butler? And so I thought West Virginia was. This year, I would say if you have to go to a bar, even if you're going to Chicago or something, Kentucky is the team bar you want to go to. And let me break it down and explain it to you, okay? First of all, Virginia Commonwealth Bar, you don't want to go there. Okay, it's too new. You've got amateurs there that really don't know what they're doing. They're buying into this hype, and that's going to be a very sad scene if they lose to Butler. Okay, people are going to crash when they figured out that they are not as good as they really thought they were. Butler, it's their second time around, so the buzz is gone a little bit. And not to mention, no offense to the people of Butler, but any city that has less than 5,000 people in it, I'm just going to go and say, is not the type of bar crowd I want to be around, okay? If you have less than 5,000 people in your town, you probably think that Bon Jovi music is pretty cutting edge. And I don't really, no offense to them, I'm sure they're nice, but that's not really the people I want to hang out with. So I'm going to avoid the Butler bar. Now, you could go to the UConn bar, but the UConn bar would kind of like be going to an MSU bar if MSU had made the Final Four for a third straight year. Okay, you've been there, you've done that, it's time to win a national championship. So you're going to go to this bar, and you're going to have a lot of fans that aren't really interested in the Final Four. They're already focused on the national championship. And let's say UConn loses that game to Kentucky. Okay, that bar is going to clear out faster than anything you've ever seen before in your life. And you're going to get stuck with that 45-year-old weird dude that tries to buy drinks for everybody to make up for the fact that he's a 45-year-old weird dude. And you just don't want to be a part of that situation. The best place to go is the Kentucky bar. Okay, and usually you'd think it'd be awful to go to a bar where fans are snobby like you would be a Kentucky and Duke and things like that. But think of it this way. Kentucky hasn't been to the Final Four since they won the whole thing back in 1998, okay? If you look at Kentucky's program, you might as well quadruple that time, okay? Because they want it so badly. If you have to look back to the Scott Padgett and Tubby Smith era and say, boy, those were the times. That was when college basketball was great for Kentucky. That's a problem, okay? And for that reason, Kentucky has to be the place to go this year for the Final Four. Think about it. This team was so desperate to get back to the Final Four that they have hired a coach that no doubt in the next 5 years will leave, and NCAA violations and sanctions will follow shortly after at the University of Kentucky, and they don't even care. They don't care because they want to be back in the Final Four. They are desperate. And I think that type of desperation is going to make a pretty fantastic party. So yes, we are happy that the Final Four is here. But I always have to take this day with a grain of salt, Scott, because you look at the Final Four, and afterwards, what is there to look forward to? After Monday night, when the national championship game is played, what is there to look forward to in sports? Okay, I guarantee you, Wednesday morning on ESPN will be day one of 21 straight days of mock NFL drafts. Guarantee it. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay for 21 straight days will sit there and tell you who they think is going to go number one, number two, number three, number four, even though they're not NFL executives, even though they have no clue technically what is going on, they're going to give you their take because ESPN and other places, including us, what else is there to talk about? You're going to talk about baseball? Let's face it. You, me, a lot of people, after April 10th, really don't care about baseball until it gets to September. Okay, you get that? Let me know when it's September and I'll start paying attention. Because 162 games is not going to make you worry about losing two of three to the Yankees in New York. It's just not going to make you worry. And so you'll drop into SportsCenter from time to time. You'll watch highlights and you'll look at the highlights and you'll look at statistics and you go, who the heck is that guy? And why does he have an ERA in the twos? What have I been missing? And so that's really your baseball in a nutshell. And good Lord, get ready for suffocating NBA coverage of the Heat and the Knicks. Okay? It is going to be suffocating, where every loss is going to be dissected with four different analysts on a panel telling you what's wrong with the Heat. And every win will follow a four-person panel talking about how the Heat are the greatest team in NBA history. Okay? Look at it this way. Okay? This is just with while other sports are going on. From February 24th to March 8th, the Heat lost 6 of 7, okay? And Yahoo came out with a report saying structural problems will keep Heat from winning a championship. Okay, that's a headline. Yahoo, when they lost 6 of 7. They have now won 9 of their last 11. The latest Yahoo article, are the Heat good enough to win it all?
Okay, and that's what you're going to have to deal with, because you have a bunch of people who apparently have never seen a whole NBA season in its entirety and don't realize that people go into losing streaks in an 82-game season, and we will sit here and we will break down every single game and pretend like this loss on this night to the Bucks in Milwaukee is going to end their season. Okay, it's the same thing with the New York Knicks. When the New York Knicks started off with Carmelo Anthony, okay, Michael Wilbon came out with an article saying, this is why the Knicks can win it all now. Well, now the Knicks have lost, what, 9 of their last 10, something along those points. Now you have articles like Yahoo printing, New York Knicks in crisis. Okay, this is the type of over-dramatics that happen in the NBA, especially when you don't have other sports to look forward to. Okay. So my main point here is make sure you soak up this weekend. Go to a team bar. Go have fun. Because after this weekend, okay, you are going to run into NBA coverage nonstop, NFL mock drafts, and NFL coverage of what is not happening in the lockout. Just to let you know. All right, coming up next, one game down, 161 to go. As we sit here, start talking about how you have to find other things to talk about. We'll talk a little bit of Tigers next. Not a lot, just a little bit. It's next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.